Hi, McCartney fans, and welcome to another... Did you just do the thing already?
Yeah.
All right, we can't do that.
Okay.
Hi, McCartney fans, and welcome to another edition of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show, and we mainly focus on Paul's solo career, and that is the good, the bad, and the ugly of Paul's solo career. And David, are you ringing? What is that noise?
Oh, it's my meditation bowl.
I've been
playing it for the last couple days, and okay. Tries to keep me sane from the, life just is getting to me, so.
Oh, no. Well, before we get to that, I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and with me is my cousin, David Gargolino. And David, you've got some stuff on your mind. We've got a little, I think this was Tuesday when we got this little update on the Flowers in the Dirt, and so without further ado, here's David Gargolino on his thoughts on this whole issue.
Okay, I'm gonna crack it down real into the gritty.
But before you start, hold on 1 second.
All right,
I also like to add that, you know, David and I are hardcore McCartney fans. That doesn't mean we know everything, but the fact is that we want to try to usually keep this show on a positive note, but there it goes again. So, David, okay, go ahead.
Okay. Tom, I'm a car salesman. We specialize in V8 muscle American cars.
Okay.
But we have an option for you. It's a very good option. I think everyone who doesn't buy this would still think it's a great option. We're going to have an autonomous vehicle with a hybrid technology in this grand sport muscle car that only very few people buy. But our company's rolling with a lot of different features on this main expensive feature. Does that make any sense to you, Tom? I just want a simple yes or no.
No.
Okay, so... That leads us into Flowers in the Dirt.
Okay.
And I've been very quiet. Well, all right. I haven't been happy, but I just let it roll off my shoulder and whatever. We'll get the...
Well, you know, we both know, and I think a lot of people know, that when Flowers in the Dirt was announced, we were told that we were going to be getting bonus music, but they were going to be download available only, and these included the B-sides and some other demos.
And I was like, okay, they don't want to put on CD. All right, fine. I'm pretty handy with vintage technology. I'll burn it to a CD, a compact disc. Oh, wait, for a box set that has compact discs. All right, I'm going on a ramble here.
Right, ramble.
There was a big outcry, and I agreed with it. I didn't, you know, I wasn't leading the rally, but I was understanding it, and I was all for it. And, the fine gentleman at Super Deluxe Edition was able to get an exclusive interview, whatever, conversation, whatever you want to call it, discussion, Paul Sinclair has the Super Deluxe Edition editor, was very kind to post it and create his own question answer based on the conversation or interview, whatever you want to call it, about the outcry and the backlash on the set.
Right.
why are we not getting a physical fourth CD disc in the Flowers and Dirt Deluxe Edition? The one that cost $150, three times as much as Tug of War or Pipes at Peace cost.
Right.
So this is his answer or summarization or paraphrasing. And here we go. All right, I'll discuss the question first. Why is the download-only content not on the physical 4 CD in the Flowers in the Dirt box set? And the answer or discussion or paraphrasing is the main reason why the fourth physical disc is not on the set is because Paul did not want a fourth disc of a CD in the set. What Paul says ultimately goes. Okay, that's fine. You had me at that first sentence. Okay.
Right.
Paulie wants it a digital download. Fine. This is where everything just goes to the dirt. No pun intended.
Of course. He
wants to look to the future, embrace new technology, and drive people to streaming. Okay, that sentence is as faulty as anything I've ever heard in logic. This is a box set. This download-only content is not is only exclusive to people who buy the $150 set. It's not a slip card on your two disc, your vinyl, or this box set. It is exclusive to this $150 box set. And mind you, I bought every box set. I've asked it for Christmas, my birthdays. I went out and bought it. I spent hundreds of dollars. We're probably hitting almost $1,000 on this whole series.
We're getting close.
Okay. And then a couple of the box sets had, you know, or no, not a couple of box sets. A couple of the releases had a couple downloads here and there on his website. Hey, I'll burn it on a CD, keep it in the box set. Cool, you know. That's neat to have. Those were cool bonuses. But the fact that the 16 bonus songs of remixes and B-sides are only exclusive to the hardcore physical collector is only getting it through a download.
Right.
But Paul's team says, yeah, because Paul embraces new technology and people to stream. That doesn't make any sense. A does not equal B, does not equal C. This makes no sense.
The fact that, you know, disc 2 and 3 could probably go onto one disc.
Exactly, because what, nine songs? You could fit 18 of those songs and shove the other ones on a third disc. This is where I almost feel like, fine, I'm waving the white flag on having the extra CD in the box set. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. That's the way he wants it. That's what we get. However, you're making a case of the streaming or download generation. Try to advance that technology for a box set is not for that sector of people.
Right.
So why don't you make the bonus available to everyone who buys the set, two disc, vinyl, or the box set? Then you're promoting, hey, you could get this whole bonus disc through a digital download. That's slightly better than MP3. I could live with that.
Mm-hmm.
But to throw this bullshit, sorry, you're throwing shade to the real fanatic. And we're not talking about the pure McCartney fans. We're talking about the hardcore fanatic. That's the reason why these deluxe box sets exist, is for the one that wants all the books, all the music. And I'm fine with the download disc.
And let's face it, there still is a market for these box sets.
Absolutely. You know, whether they want to say much money, but hell, you know what?
Still, there's a massive Bob Dylan's box set. There's a massive Pink Floyd box set. You know, so there is demand for these box sets. But go ahead.
I just think it's throwing shade to the hardcore fanatic who's spending three times as much as the last box set that came out. And granted, this is a big album.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even mad that the CD's not even including more, but you're comparing three different platforms and looping it back to the box set. Who cares if 100 million people are streaming? That has no characteristic on this box set. Why don't you just make every release just a digital streaming thing? and, you know, we'll call it a day, and we'll just buy the books and just listen through our, you know, Pandora. I just think this whole box set's kind of been just a drawn out. I'm looking forward to the next box set because this one's kind of just been kind of getting tired. And it's not that we waited a year and a half. It's now, okay, this is your reasoning for why this fourth CD isn't included, which those tracks are, you know, are every bit as interesting and important as, like, these demos that they are calling the La Creme La Creme.
Right.
I think maybe Paul needs to get a new, you know, marketing team. You know, yeah. Because I feel like there's no direction. Wow, there's a real parallel with the world going on in this. Whatever. I'm digressing, but I won't. Yeah, we'll keep it at that. My thing is, now I'm standing on the soapbox saying, fine, include this bonus to everyone that buys this album, regardless of what platform it is.
Right.
If you're going to, you know, say, oh, we're trying to promote streaming, and that's why we're not going to add a fourth disc. You could have just said Paul didn't want more discs than are already in the set and that are already probably pressed. Okay, then we'll accept it as a download. But the reasoning behind it got me fired up. And there's pretty much not anything more onto that interview that I really care to read because it was just kind of, I didn't care anymore at that point.
Well, I mean, there was talk about, you know, the possibility of a, you know, McCartney and a Wings box set, but, and then I thought, why would he do that when he had just released, you know, Pierre McCartney? Then there's talk, you know, the future of these physical, you know, deluxe editions, and the fact that there was talk or discussions about, you know, Wildlife and Red Rose Speedway being next. So for me, that's exciting as well. Now, then to get back now with when these next sets come out, now is he going to feature, you know, more, you know, music that will only be download available? Because, you know, I'm really looking forward to the Wildlife Red Rose Speedway. And I will definitely, I mean, be more ticked off about, you know, music being download available only on those sets more than I will about the Flowers in the Dirt.
Oh, absolutely. They're, you know. But
is he going to put Live and Let Die that hasn't been released, that hasn't been remastered yet, except for, you know, obviously Pierre McCartney? But is he going to put that on download available, you know, only?
You know, the person that buys the box set wants the complete package, and you devalue that set. You know, let's say you want to sell it, or these things get, you know, resaled in the aftermarket, you know, second party Amazon or used. Are you going to be able to download it if someone else rebuys that? And you're not getting the complete package.
Right.
You know, it's just as much about the music as is the books for the box set.
Right.
And
you know, the books for me, I mean, they're hit or miss too.
No, they're good. They're nice to read, but you ultimately go back to the music.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And so the fact that they made an exclusiveness to download if you buy the big box set just is a crime to the real fan that may not be able to afford this set right away. And listen, I'm not telling people not to buy it, you know? Maybe not rush out right away. And I'm kind of curious what the next coming soon card will actually say. And to me, I don't feel like this might be the only set this year, unfortunately. I think maybe summer of 18, they'll have two more. That's the slow pace that the momentum, I think, after last year or 2015 kind of died down. And this kind of is a parallel to other Beatle projects that we're waiting a million years on. And I'm not, you know, let's just say these exclusive bonus tracks will be available to anyone that travels on the internet, let's say. And then you just basically promote piracy. Or you enable it because people, you're missing a big piece of this box set by only giving it to a small group of people, and it's not across the board. So I think the real fans that can't afford it are getting cheated.
Right.
So I mean, I pre-ordered the box set. I'm not saying to stop buy it, not to buy it, but hey, we have our voice too. They have their opinion. We'll definitely throw it back, and they're seeing the pushback. I don't think his manager would bat an eye if no one really wrote any like letters or these comments on superdeluxeedition.com. You look at a lot of the box sets that came out. Like you were saying, the Bob Dylan, 36 discs for like $100. The King Crimson, 19 discs for $120. Like, they're throwing the whole kitchen sink in. And I don't know why Paul wants to keep it so small and exclusive. But I think you really need to have those bonus tracks available to everyone that buys this album, regardless of what version.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely agree with you. And it just goes, you know, with a lot of these sets, you know, I'm grateful that he's putting these out, but obviously, you know, we're always finding something to not be happy about these sets as well. You know, I don't know if that's a, you know, frustrating for him as well. I mean, he's giving us this material, but yet we're not happy with, you know, what he's giving us.
I think the execution of this kind of really irked a lot of people. And for the most part, I've been happy with all the releases. There might have been might have been one or two things that weren't included, but I think this 16-track bonus is essential to this box set.
Oh, it is just as much as the disc 2 and 3, I feel. Even more so, I think. You know, I mean, let's face it. I mean, I'm under the impression that the McCartney and Costello collaboration was something completely different before Flowers in the Dirt came to life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether or not the... You know, I was just starting to read up on their collaboration and whether or not it was going to flourish into an album with just those two, and then how it ended up becoming Flowers in the Dirt, you know, why there was, you know, just, you know, a few of the collaborations on Flowers in the Dirt. And then, you know, I think there was one or two were pushed off to, you know, off the ground. But, you know, so, you know, I'm just, you know, curious about this whole situation. And if that's so, the premise or the idea was pushed aside and then Flowers in the Dirt came to be, then yes, those B-sides and demos are very, you know, essential to this box set.
I got to say, it
should be on physical, you know.
Absolutely. Disc. I think if you can include Thrillington on your RAM set, which is kind of like kind of a bonus, but not essential, because I think a lot of people could live without that disc, though we'd all would like that to have been released anyways. I feel like these songs are just as worthy, if not more, you know, like you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, there was 5 discs on the RAM set.
Yeah, so yeah, the 4, you know, I don't know if his team has changed or that's the different, you know, the different kind of parent record companies between Hear Music and Concord and now Capitol have influence on MPL.
Mm-hmm.
The different administrations, I guess, through this series have been changing, it feels like. It's just the way they answered these questions or, you know, thoughts on behalf of everyone. It just didn't come across warm feeling, I guess, for someone who's dropping that much. So I would say, fine, screw the CD. You don't want it on a physical thing. Make it available to everyone that buys this. And I keep repeating that, but I'm trying to harp the fact that if this is so important, you want to enhance that, you know, use that current technology platform. And which is ironic because we want the physicalness once you buy it, the box set. You know, if I didn't care, I would just buy the 2 discs and just rip it to my, you know, iPod, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, and streaming these new releases, I don't think he's had any of the albums.
No.
You know, I'm not hearing disc 2 of Tug of War remix on any Pandora station. So, I don't know. I don't really have much more to say than that, you know, because I'm just harping on the same thing. But,
right.
You know, I try to put my comment on the page. I don't think he approved it because I was trying to promote our show. But okay. 238 other people did, and you know, I felt like this is a different, better platform to express my feelings.
Right.
You know, I hope he continues to the rest of the Wings and his solo stuff. I'm always appreciative of him taking the time and the effort just to approve all these releases, and I'm sure it's a lot of work, but when you're throwing that those
Right. Well, you know, I think we mentioned it before, or we were texting each other about this. So we were hopeful that maybe he would come up with an exclusive with Best Buy with this, you know.
That would be nice, but it doesn't sound like that.
No. Because, now it doesn't.
You know, he's making an excuse, his manager, of like, oh, well, the platform for like these box, like real stores are shrinking. Amazon is huge. Best Buy, yeah. They can go away because they don't really stock much anyway. So the future is Amazon for physicalness. You could get stuff in 2 days.
Well then, do a deal with Amazon where they do the bonus disc when you buy. If you buy, let's say you buy the 2-disc set, or let's say if you buy the deluxe version, then you get this, then you get that set, and you can call it an Amazon exclusive. It's kind of frustrating. Not kind of, it is frustrating.
And that 25 disc set, I feel like they're just going to repackage all his Wing stuff and just go, here, this big exclusive box will have this exclusive disc if you buy it. Which
I hope we don't get
duped into buying it twice.
Right. So they release this 20. So let's say they do release this 25 CD set. Okay. So does that mean you end the archive set? Do you not put out the other four, Wings albums?
I don't even see them releasing that big box set.
I don't either.
I feel like they just need to continue on each individual album rather than.
Right. Because if you look at the original concept or the original release intentions, for this set, when you get further on down the line, there was, rare outtakes, rare, demos, stuff like that, that were going to be just on a set themselves. I remember that was, we found that on Wogblog originally. Yeah. The original intentions for this series.
I'll say Volume 3 of Tune In will come out before that.
Well, definitely.
I mean, you gotta like pick up the pace on the set, and maybe they don't want to flood the market. But
there's a lot of McCartney out there.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of recordings, a lot of stuff to release, and it's not like Led Zeppelin where they were able to put it out. Their stuff out quickly because eight studio albums, was it? Nine, maybe?
Yeah.
So where you're releasing two a year and you get it done in, 3 to 4 years. It's a completely different catalog. And I think he expects, a whole different thing. I mean, he's got a higher standard, of what he wants to put out. What should be on there. I mean, they keep coming up with this, scraping the bottom of the barrel stuff. I don't think that's the case.
No.
They say they only want to put the best of the best stuff out. Well, those demos, the whole, process of a song, whether from take one to the finished product, people want to hear that. I mean, if no one wanted to hear that, bootlegs wouldn't exist.
Exactly. And I don't know why I'm going back to the Beatles. They're so tight-knit on what they have. I mean, they put out the anthology 20-some years ago, 6 discs of stuff that had been on bootlegs and some stuff that had never been on bootlegs.
Right.
Now they're just keeping everything close to the vest. And they're not trying to rewrite history, but I think they're trying to just keep either they're trying to keep the demand very high, so people are clamoring for whatever's left, or they don't feel like the outtakes are even worthy to their catalog anymore. I mean, I am enthralled in the bootleg world of them and Paul and John and George. Right. There's so much out there at this pace. The whole first generation of the band and friends and fans are going to be gone by the time they release every single thing. At that point, what does it matter anymore? It's the hardcore fans are buying these box sets are the ones that are keeping the physical product alive. If you're just dumbing down for the new generation a streaming, because no one wants to own anything anymore.
Well, I don't know if that's true, whether or not people don't want to. I mean, this sudden rush of, you know, vinyl coming back, you know, so I think there is going to be continue to be demand for physical copies of
music. I hope. They're kind of using it as a crutch to, like, this is why we're doing streaming or download.
Yeah. I hear you. It still doesn't mean it's not frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for me, you know, McCartney's catalog is my second favorite catalog, period. Mm-hmm. And I own a lot of music. I love a lot of music. This is bar none my second favorite catalog behind the Beatles. Mm-hmm. You know, and I want to see, you know, the evolution of, you know, McCartney's music. You know, I want those demos. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to hear, I love the, on Tug of War. You know, I love the fact that he had, you know, The Pound Is Sinking and, you know, the other song that's, you know, escaping me right now. Mm-hmm. But there was, you know, those were two songs together, you know, and then he gave us to do those two demos separately, you know, so we got to hear, you know, what those two songs were like at the beginning stages.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he saved that for like an anthology type, but I've been weighing that, you know. We've been waiting that from George Harrison forever. And then, and then Paul, I don't think we're going to get around to that anytime soon before he's 80. You know, I don't know why he can't just release kind of things in parallel. You know, here's the box set and here's a 2-disc version of this era or these years, you know, that aren't related to the set, but just things are just, you know, get your product out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like we are one of the only Paul McCartney podcast out there, and I think the general fan only thinks of Paul as Band on the Run.
Yes.
McCartney.
Ram.
And Ram.
Tug of War. Yeah. And if he's lucky, maybe, you know, Flowers in the Dirt and Flaming Pie.
Yeah. But, you know, this archive series are connecting the dots in between.
Right.
And, you know, they said they're making, you know, people are still buying them, and they're barely breaking even. My thing is, why don't you have, like, a level below the box set that has a style of, like, the new re-release and the Pure McCartney? You know, I saw comments about that. You know, have a little booklet that's in a little book shape and a couple slip, you know, cases for the CDs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what the, you know, how much it really, you know, costs to make those. You know, I'm not in that sector, but you can't tell me about, you know, you got to buy the big box set to get these exclusive downloads, and we're promoting streaming. No, I mean,
we should look up somebody who's in that field.
Yeah.
You know, and see, you know, if we could ever find out the cost of how much, you know, this stuff actually costs to make.
You know, maybe this stuff needed to come out in the 90s, you know. You know, this
well,
should have been in parallel.
Well, he did something in the 90s, well, but he just wasn't as elaborate as it is now.
Well, he should have had maybe the elaborate version along with the single disc.
Right.
But, you know, when that was the store's bread and butter was physical discs and box sets.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know why this box set is so, you know, because RAM was about $100, and I felt like that got... You know, Wings Over America was like 120, but I felt Ram had the most
bang for the buck.
Definitely. And I even appreciate when the sets turn into $49 sets.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay, yeah, you get a little bit, you know, get a couple booklets and you get the CDs and it's a nice slipcase. I'm good. That could be the whole series. You know,
I was very happy with Venus of Mars, Speed of Sound. Mm-hmm. Tug of War and Pipes of Peace, how they were all set up.
You see the evolution of the box set kind of changing, you know?
Yeah.
Band on the Run, McCartney 1 and 2 were just books.
Booklets, yeah, exactly.
I like those too. But then you kind of see they got the, you know, the other ones were the slipcase, or Ram was kind of the open tomb, sort of, you know? And I think there's still, I think things are always in motion, which is neat because it's not a static kind of set. Things are changing, but if it's too much money, then scale back a little bit.
Right. Right. Yeah, and, you know, like we said earlier today, I mean, or earlier in the show, there's no reason why you had to split those two discs onto two discs. There's no reason.
No, because it would have been nice to hear, okay, tracks 1 through 9, and then you go, you know, 10 through 19, mm-hmm. and you could go back and forth between the collaboration right. and the band demos.
Yeah, exactly. Do it on one disc. It's so much easier to do that on one disc than it is two discs. Yeah. You know, so, to go back and forth.
But I honestly think Paul doesn't call all the shots. He calls the final shots, but he's not presented the project because he's the artist. He's making the music. The archivist project people are presenting, this is what we're thinking of doing. Okay, that looks nice. That looks good. I'll do this interview for this, you know, booklet interview or whatever.
Right.
I don't think he designs them.
I don't know who it is in his team or what team is telling him that, you know, you should start streaming these songs.
Yeah.
It makes no sense
at all.
I mean, it's a
cop out. I think I don't know what the context of that conversation or / interview, whatever you want to call it, was. He had to put it in an interview, you know, process so we could all kind of understand the flow. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think he was using the 25 disc set as an example. Like, okay, if it was multiple albums across his career at this era, yeah, we would do the 25 set. But if it's one album, we were going to keep it simple and 4 disc. And I would have been fine with that. But to include that streaming comment just threw me over the edge. And I think it's causing more outroar amongst the forums and people's opinions. So put it all out for everyone, you know?
Put yep. it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, do you feel better now? Got this off your chest?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's good to talk about things, Tom, you know?
Oh, absolutely. You don't want to keep this all bottled in.
Or I just need to go to the gym again and just, you know, run it off.
Right off.
Dave on the run.
Anyways, yeah, Dave on the run. Well, anyways, you know. Downloads in the dirt. That was a good comment, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, either way, I'm still looking forward to the set. I'm not going to be happy about the set, but
whatever.
This is what I get for being a McCartney fan right now.
Yeah, we're very passionate. I don't know, a couple thousand people to actually buy the set. And, you know, for me, I'm always into, you know, getting everything. So
yeah. I'd actually like to see the sales on each set, you know, see which one, you know, sold the most or whatever.
I could have swore I saw something like that, or it might have been something else. But
mm-hmm. I mean, there should be a website where we can find this information, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think we can find that. Or maybe anyone out there who's listening could help us. You know, or direct mm-hmm. us to it.
Right.
But, you know, when he posts a lot of his, you know, on his YouTube page, and you know, all his, you know, the preview of the box sets or the exclusive interviews or the promos, I ripped that all to DVD and put that in my own box set. So, you know, for me, adding the 16 songs to a CD, yeah, I'll do it. It's kind of, I do it with, you know, begrudgingly, but
well, don't forget to send me one.
Oh yeah, you'll get one. And anyone else out there, I know I'm breaking laws, but you know, I'll be the Robin Hood. I don't care. Sue me. I mean, what do you? You know, it's kind of like, oh, I spent $150 on my favorite CDs on a CDR. You know, like whatever.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well. Yeah. That's going to do it. If, you know, you agree with David, you know, what he's saying, you know, let us know. If you're frustrated like both of us, we'd love to hear you. We have a Facebook page, Two Legs Podcast. That's our email, twolegspodcast@gmail.com. Or you can look at our Facebook page, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. So, I wouldn't say this episode was that much fun, but it was nice to talk about it. Anyways, David, have a wonderful night.
I'll try.
All right. Well, he's David Gargolino. I'm Tom Hunyadi. And as always, have a great day and a beautiful night.